Okay, so thanks so much for sticking around this afternoon. I want to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation. They're all sitting in the front row. Catherine Brookmeyer is from CDC, and we have our two collaborators from Penn State here in the audience with us as well. I'm going to skip through this slide because Allie, you know, has already told you that college students are at risk for STIs. But university health settings are an ideal location for innovative testing methods. And express testing for sexually transmitted infections is a quick way of testing asymptomatic patients for chlamydia and gonorrhea. Patients can walk in without an appointment, and there's no sexual history taken or exam. A medical professional doesn't have to be present. And so the process can take less than 5 minutes, and a male provides a urine sample, and the female provides a self-collected vaginal swab specimen. However, research is limited on the acceptability of collection and effect on testing uptake in the college setting. So as Allie mentioned, a third of schools are offering express testing, and as a quality improvement effort, Penn State is one of these schools and was seeking to make STD testing more comfortable for their students by increasing privacy and ease of service accessibility. So CDC had been doing a lot of work with colleges through the Get Yourself Tested campaign, and we reached out to Penn State about evaluating the efficacy of their self-testing program. So to give you a little background on Penn State, the university is located in State College, Pennsylvania, in a predominantly rural area. The enrollment for undergraduates at University Park is 47,000 students. It's about 46% female, 54% male, and it's a predominantly white university. So here's an image of the self-testing kit for both males and females, and how the process works is that the patient reports to the lab receptionist and indicates that he or she wants to do self-testing by presenting this blue card right here, and they're told to read the pre-testing instructions and then ask if they want to proceed with testing. So the receptionist will then take the patient to the private location and explain the collection instructions, and printed instructions are also available in the restrooms. So our study sought to answer the following questions. We wanted to see if self-testing was acceptable to students visiting university health services, along with whether self-collected vaginal swabs were acceptable among the female patients. We wanted to look and see if chlamydia and gonorrhea positivity was higher among the self-testers compared to clinician-collected testers. And we also wanted to look to see if there were any trends in STI testing and positivity since implementation of the self-testing program. So we analyzed chlamydia and gonorrhea testing data for years 2013 and 2015 to determine the overall positivity among clinician versus self-collected test groups and explore trends in testing. Year 2013 acted as a baseline. PSU conducted a brief self-administered survey of students accessing university health services for self-testing from January through December of 2015 using PDA-based Qualtrics. The survey assessed student demographics, reason for testing, and satisfaction with the self-testing option. The cost of testing was $30, and chi-square tests were used to explore differences between the clinician and self-test groups. So the first set of findings that I'm going to share describe PSU's testing and positivity numbers. So from 2013 to 2015, we detected a significant increase in overall testing at University Health Services of 17.7%. And during that same period, males indicated a 28.5% increase in testing, and females had a 13.7% increase in testing. However, at the same time, we also saw a 4.4% decline in students seeking chlamydia and gonorrhea testing from clinicians. When we took a closer look at students seeking testing from clinicians, we found that there was an 11.3% decrease in males seeking chlamydia and gonorrhea testing from clinicians in 2013 as compared to 2015. There was also a slight but significant decrease of 1.8% among females seeking testing from clinicians. During the 2015 year, the self-test option was used by approximately 400 males and 400 females. So these decreases in clinician visits, but overall increases in testing, suggest that the increase in testing may be attributed to the introduction of the self-testing program. When exploring overall chlamydia and gonorrhea positivity in both groups, the test indicated a greater proportion of positivity results in 2015 when compared to 2013, with chlamydia and gonorrhea positivity of 7.9% in 2015 compared to 6.3% in 2013. Males' positivity for chlamydia and gonorrhea increased significantly from 9.7% to 12.6%. However, no significant difference was detected for females. And overall, we saw that males had much greater positivity results than females at 12.6% compared to 5.9%. Now we look to see if these differences in positivity between the clinician and the self-collected groups. And so overall, students who selected the self-test option were significantly more likely to test positive for STIs than those who opted the clinician-ordered test. Females in particular who elected the self-test option were significantly more likely to be positive for chlamydia and gonorrhea than those females who opted for a clinician-ordered test. Such data indicates that the self-test may be capturing a unique at-risk female population. For 2015, we also examined testing trends and positivity patterns by month. Early spring and fall appear to be the most common times for testing. The two most popular months to be tested were April, when 12.2% of students were tested, and September, when approximately the same amount were tested. Positivity does not appear to precisely correlate with testing patterns, as February and March indicated the highest month of positivity in 2015. And we also see greater positivity than testing in the months of May, August, and December. So events such as the football season, return from spring break, Thanksgiving holidays may explain some of this positivity. This slide looks specifically, did it switch? Okay, this slide looks specifically at trends among the self-testing group, and we see that although students are self-testing at greater numbers in April and September, positivity is actually highest in August and December. And then supporting these findings, the State of Education examined Google Trends results of health-related searches for chlamydia, and they seem to correspond with holiday breaks at colleges as well. Their two highest peaks for searches were in late September and also after the school break. So we're kind of seeing that when schools are out of school, they may be engaging in more risky behavior, and then they show back up and they've got STIs. So now on to acceptability. Overall, 18.9% of students opted for the self-test option, of which 185 completed the survey. Among the students surveyed, most were 20 to 22 years old. White identified as female and lived off campus. There was a fairly even split between lower and upperclassmen, and also 93% of the students identified as heterosexual. Other students surveyed, their main reasons for being tested were, I have had unprotected sex. It's an important way to take care of myself, and I get tested as part of checking my health regularly. So in the past 12 months, we saw that almost 45% had had two or three sex partners, either vaginal or anal intercourse, and more than a third reported four or more partners. Ease of testing and no appointment needed were the main reasons for choosing the self-test option, followed by confidentiality and cost. Most patients had heard of the self-test option through the Student Health Center website and through friends or acquaintances. Overall, 96.3% of those surveys said that they were very satisfied or somewhat satisfied. Few had difficulty with the self-testing process. Almost all said that they, it was easy to understand the instructions and the testing experience was positive. And when exploring differences between males and females, looking at the urine versus the self-collected swab specimen, no significant differences arose. The only noticeable non-significant difference was that a small number of females, less than 6%, said that they had experienced some difficulty understanding the instructions. So satisfaction with the program was overwhelming among males and females. And most reported that they would likely use the self-testing service again and recommend it to their friends. So here are just a few comments left by students who use the self-testing program. One patient in particular said, self-testing definitely makes people feel like more like efficacious individuals and more likely to be proactive in taking care of their health and well-being. And we also wanted to report that practically every student was successfully treated. Only one student was lost in follow-up. So regarding implications for future directions, for Penn State, we learned that they think they may be catching asymptomatic cases. Self-testing frees up healthcare provider visits for symptomatic patients or patients with other ailments. More aggressive advertising could increase uptake. They were actually without a health promotion employee at the time. And as you saw, all their clientele came from mostly through the website. Also in regards to testing trends, since they're seeing so much positivity in August, they're considered maybe doing a push right after freshman orientation at the beginning of the year. And for others out in the field, this is an easy replicable model, and our data suggests that it may be a way to get males in for testing, something the field of STD is always trying to figure out how to do. In regard to limitations, the data was limited to one large four-year university. Survey data were not linked to positivity. The positivity data did not contain any individual characteristics, and we weren't able to determine if some cases were repeat testers. So in conclusion, self-testing in the university setting may be an efficient and effective way to provide STD testing for asymptomatic students and may increase testing uptake. Most patients found self-testing easy, were satisfied with the experience, and likely to return and recommend for others. And self-testing is especially appealing to males, older college students, and those living independently. Multiple partners, disclosure of unprotected sex, and detected infection suggest that this is not just the low risk worried while using the self-testing program. So thank you. We want to acknowledge some other PSU staff who helps with the data collection of this, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Charlotte Gatos, Johns Hopkins. I'm impressed that only about 18% of the students selected the self-testing option. Do you think, it seems to be very acceptable and worked very well. Do you have any ideas about how, what you could do as another innovation to increase the option of the self-testing?
So I can answer, and Shelley or Robin are welcome to answer. Like I mentioned, they were without a health promotion person in their staff, and so they weren't doing any major health campaign pushes, or they weren't doing GYT as like a big testing event campaign or anything like that. So I think increased promotion of the service on campus could probably help. I don't know if you wanted to add anything else to that.
What if this were the only option offered to collect your own sample? Would this be a barrier? But you offered them a choice, either clinician or self. This time. Yeah, but you offered him. You can either do self or. Good. Nice talk.
I'm just curious about some of the early numbers you put up there. You said there were 47,000 visits to the clinic, and yet the numbers for the STI testing is only a couple thousand a year.
So it looks like it's about 10% of the student body is coming in for STD testing. And you do have a nonprofit in the area, right? You said that offers free STI testing?
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess I'm curious, what is the breakdown of the types of testing offered, and why is it only 10% of people getting the STI testing? Yeah, I don't mean just the self-testing, though. I mean just the STI testing in general.
Okay. Or in general, it's much easier from a lab and a processing standpoint to have people just do the self-test. Mm-hmm. We have the tests offering other tests, HIV, et cetera. But we are just not that way yet.
Okay, thanks. And just as part of that, I'm wondering why you opted for the self-collected vaginal swab rather than just having the women pee in a cup, too.
It's a better test.
Okay.
Hi. You were mentioning about how you guys are considering HIV self-testing. My question was, are you considering HIV self-testing or collection for HIV? Like DBS collection, or actually using the OraQuick.
Not self-testing, but having that as an option for them at the time of self-testing.
Okay, gotcha.
Great. Thank you.